Paul ever get to preach it? Maybe it was just God telling me something. But it is good to be here. Sure is. I remember hearing about, I think it was Jack Cole, old healing evangelist, roughshod, radical guy. He'd have back problems, come in all humped over, and he'd get them by the shoulder, put his knee in their back. And all of them was like that about it. And he said when he got saved, I was thinking about Peter didn't really know what to say, and then stuck his foot in his mouth. And God, cloud came down, and Elijah and Moses was gone, and God said, "This is my beloved son, you hear him." It's kind of set the record straight. Jack Cole said when he got saved, he didn't know what else to say. He said, "Hot dog, I got it." Ran around the church saying, "Hot dog, I got it. Hot dog, I got it." Well, hot dog, I got it too. Let's open our Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. I'll try not to hold you too long. Think I can be done by 9, I think. I hope. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If you have that, say amen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then jump over to verse 8 and then we'll pray. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. I like that verse right there. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. You know all about it, God. You know our hearts tonight. Father, you know why we're here. You know what we're doing. God, I'm asking you to touch and strengthen tonight. Challenge us, stir our hearts, that we'd move forward in you and in the kingdom. I ask you to anoint these lips of clay, that I'd speak nothing more, nothing less than what the Holy Ghost would give me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You may be seated. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Not knowing where he's going. Now, early Portuguese explorers, they believed that the oceans were impassable below a certain cape named Boja Dor. It was a point on the West African coast. You say you don't know where that's at. I don't either. Don't matter. You'll get the point anyway. When sailors set aside their fears and moved past that cape, they found that their fears were groundless, that their limitations were only imaginary. And I guess we all have our own Cape Boja Dors. I'm sure that's not the way you say it. But we have our own fears. We've set our own limitations. We fear things that we need not fear. Right? How many times have you felt so stupid, worry yourself sick, and then that thing that you worried about didn't even happen? Or, you know, it's like the shot that you're getting ready to get from that doctor, and you're still waiting, and he says, "Okay, I'm done." You know? It's kind of like that. Y'all probably never had that experience. You're probably crying and screaming, bloody murder. Sometimes we fear things, and when they come, it's not near as bad. Not near as bad, you know. And then you look at it and you say, well, I've been through worse than this. You know? Really. Here's one. Somebody say, Brother Lamb, I heard something about you and I was wanting to ask you. So I've got a built-in mechanism now. When people attack me or they say something to me, or I can't explain it. I just do this thing. And it don't hurt me. It don't hurt me. It don't bother me. I say, silly rabbit, tricks are for kids, is basically. You know. But you base yourself and you prepare yourself and you know it's the worst. And then they come off with something that, who cares? You know? Who cares? That's life. It's not always that way. But I think a lot of times we have fears that are unprecedented. Those things in our lives that we draw boundaries. We draw boundaries around areas of our lives and then we decide that we can't go past them. I can only do this, I can only do so much, and this is as far as I can go. And since we believe these false ideas, we stay within their artificial boundaries. And then we lose whatever experiences God has got for us outside those boundaries. We sure do. And so we need to find out tonight, what limits have you set for yourself? More than 300 years before the time of Christ, a man by the name of Alexander the Great was marching across Asia Minor, conquering pretty much the entire known world, leading the greatest army ever put together, ever. And they had conquered every foe, destroyed every enemy. No one could fight them. No one could stand against them. They reached the Himalaya Mountains, Brother Johnson. They had a crude map, the best of the time, but they came to the Himalaya Mountains, which are massive. And the advance leaders came back to Alexander the Great, very concerned, very alarmed. And they told Alexander the Great, so we don't have any more map. We're going to have to go back to where we know. And Alexander the Great said, mediocre armies always stay within their boundaries. Mediocre armies always stay within the known areas. But Alexander the Great said, but great armies always march off the map. I like that. I read that today. He said, great armies always march off the map. And you know what happens when you march off the map, Brother Jason? You start making your own map. Well, I feel the Lord tonight. I may not preach hard and long, but I feel real good tonight in my heart. Great armies always march off the map. Walking by faith requires that we go beyond our limitations. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By what? By that which is evidenced by those things that are not seen. We find all through the Word of God, men and women realize that if I'm going to get anywhere in God, I've got to go beyond the boundaries that I've set for myself. And I come to tell you tonight that as Christians, every one of us tonight, we've got large tracts of unannexed territory, unattained possibilities. We have unenjoyed blessings, things that are ours. If we would only be willing to march off our maps. Bible said in Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He daily loadeth us with benefits. But where are these benefits? Now, when I asked you that question, most of you probably thought immediately, well, I have a nice home or a nice car, and we have food and jobs, and we're blessed with the benefits of God, Brother Lamb. What do you mean by asking me? And I have a problem with that mind frame, because we have basically limited the blessings of God to material possessions. And I know that God has blessed us. I know that we have clothes and we have food and we have shelter, we have vehicles and all of these things. But I would rather have the power of the Holy Ghost than all of those things. God knows my heart tonight. Amen. I was worshiping him and saying this when I had no suits. And now I've got a couple and I'm still worshiping him, and he can take them all. He can have them all. I want the power of the Holy Ghost, and God help us tonight. Money, material possessions, they're going to fade away. That new Dodge Durango that I drive and that new whatever you drive, it's going to rust out. And sometimes, you know, I see that nice, that Escalade or that Lincoln Navigator, you know, boy, I'd like to have one. And sometimes I joke and I say, listen, in about 2020, I'm going to get me one, a 2008 model. I say in about 20 years, I'll get one. I'll get one of them right there. They think I'm talking about in 2000. I'll get that right there. It may have 300,000 on it. I might get me one. And if I don't, it's all right. A move of God to change your life forever. The Holy Ghost to change you for the rest of your life. The Lord can do things just like that. You're never the same. Never the same. And you can have all the money in the world and be the most miserable person that ever lived. And you can be broke, busted, and disgusted and still whistle Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. You know what I'm saying tonight? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wicked. One day with the Lord is better than 1,000. I'd rather have God tonight. How much more of God that we could have? How much more we have a right to than what we possess? You see, the ocean is ours, Brother Jason. And all we take home is that little pailful in a bucket. How much of God is ours? But tonight, I wonder how much you're going to take home. Just a little pailful. We go to God in prayer. The ocean is ours. The ocean of God's grace is ours. How much do we bring out of the prayer closet with us? Oftentimes, it's just enough to get by. It's just enough to keep from backsliding. That's not God's will. We leave with a dribble of God. That's about it. How much inward peace is ours? You see, it's meant that there should never pass across a Christian soul more than a ripple of agitation. It may disturb the surface, but deep down there should be a tranquility, even as the ocean. Unbroken by any storm. Unbroken by any tempest. There may be a peace in our hearts deep as life. A tranquility which may be shallowly disturbed, but never thoroughly down to the depths broken. Do you understand that? You can have that tonight. You can have that kind of walk with God tonight. Things may rattle you a little, but that's about it. You keep moving on. Yet we let the simplest things get us in an uproar. What somebody says, who really cares? I mean, come on, let's be real tonight. Who really cares what somebody that don't care about you anyway is saying? And you try to impress people. They don't want you to impress them. They don't like you. And if you were to impress them in this area, they wouldn't even tell you because they'd be so jealous of you. And then they lie on you and say something else about you. Pray for them and keep moving on. Time. Time's a good friend. Can be an enemy. Can be an enemy if you ain't got the goods. But you get it just right. Time is your friend. And I want you to know something. There's things in this life it's not worth being fretful about. So Paul said, be careful for nothing. Now, they always preach that to me that you know, be careful if you wear tassels on your shoes. You know, be careful for nothing, you know. It's not what he's saying. Be full of care for nothing. Don't let anything get you perplexed to where you lose your walk with God. Be careful for nothing. It's King James English. We would say, be full of care for nothing. Or we would say, don't be so troubled about things. Don't let things get you down. Don't be biting your fingernails. Don't lose sleep at night. Is it really worth it? Does it really matter? Do you really care? Really, when it comes right down to it? Well, I don't think you should. We should have peace with God tonight. And not only should we have peace with God, but we should have the peace of God. Though with sadness tonight, I declare that most of the time it's not ours. We fret and we worry and we're troubled at every hand, and this one and that one said this, and does that one like me, and is she mad at me? I love you, but I don't go around thinking everybody's mad at me all the time. I don't have time to call everybody. You mad at me? Because most time, I learned a long time ago, most time I call people and ask if they're mad at me, they laugh at me. Mad at you. I couldn't tell many people, I have a year, call me and ask me or talk to me. Are you mad at me, Brother Lamb? I say, listen, I'm trying to work on this position of mine, but I pastor a church. I'm sitting in an eye doctor today, you know, and I'm trying to get me some new contacts. Walking around with one, and my head's been just hurting so bad, this headache, you know. And she said, have you been having headaches lately more than normal? And I just chuckled to myself. I said, yeah, I don't think it's got anything to do with my eyes. You know, I could have broke down and gave her a sob story. I don't have a sob story tonight. I'm loving what I'm doing. Sometimes it's hard. And sometimes my blood pressure gets high. And sometimes I get headaches for days. But I'm happy. It could be so much worse. It could be so much worse. You know? And I'm trying to get to where I don't get any headaches. And my blood pressure stays perfect. And I don't lose any sleep. I'm getting there. And maybe by the time I'm 50, I'm going to be there. I'm just going to smile. It's really not worth it. It's going to pass. As Job said, this too shall pass. Have y'all found that out in life? The worst things pass. Look back in your life. The worst thing that ever happened to you, it passed. And you made it through. The worst sin you ever committed since you've been saved. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. You made it. You got back up. What's the old saying? You pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. And you said, I will not sit here until I die. That's the way a real Christian should do it. We're like that man I see a lot of times who sets out on a great quest to find a new land, you know, explore. And his boat pushes up on the shore of a strange continent. And he looks out on a land, never seen it before, never been there. And he's not got a map to show him what's inside the interior. It's one of the awesome things about David Livingstone. You've heard of David Livingstone. David Livingstone had a lot of things going for him. I think he was 7. He had the 119 Psalms memorized when he's like 6. If you know anything about the 119 Psalms, read it tonight before you go to bed. Read it tonight before you go to bed. And then remember, David Livingstone had about 6 memorized. This guy like 150, 60, 70 verses. I can't remember how many exactly. So he had a lot going for him, you know. But that's not why he was famous. He was famous because when he pushed up on the shores of Africa and he saw all the huts and all the villages around the shore, you know. And he said, has anybody went into the interior of Africa? Nobody had. And he forged his way through into unannexed territory. And he went down in history as one of the greatest missionaries that's ever lived. Pioneered a way into the heart, to the interior of Africa. No telling how many hundreds of thousands of people were saved. You know what he did the whole time he was moving through those jungles, crossing rivers? He was making maps. He was making maps. Sending them back to the States. Of the geography and topography that we have in our atlases and things today in Africa. You know who's responsible? Little missionary man by the name of David Livingstone. He said, you guys can stay on the outer extremes here. He said, but this is what he said. He said, the fires of 1,000 camps beckoned me night and day. And he pushed in. His wife come to visit him. She got malaria and died. He kept pushing. Came to see his children, 7, 8 years old, they didn't even know who he was. I don't condone that. I don't. I think he was wrong in that area. I don't know. Judgment will tell about that. But the man was a man of God, Brother Corey. He was totally and completely sold out. There's no doubt about it. David Livingstone was a mighty, mighty man of God. Maybe should have never got married. I don't know. But he's forged his way into the interior of Africa. And I hear Christ say, those that gave up family, wives, children, lands, homes, they're going to receive 100-fold. Amen? Amen. That's who he was talking to, men like David Livingstone. But they were unafraid. This man, and even if he was afraid, I'm sure there was times he was afraid. Had to be. But he still went. You see, that's the thing. We build up our fears. And we come to this certain place and we begin to get a little bit anxious and anxiety sets in. And you come to that place a lot. It's that place that you've got mapped out, you know, and you come to the extremity of it. But when you get there, most of the time you turn around and you go back because all of this is known. All of this is you get settled. You've been there, you know how it all operates, and you feel comfortable. The saints of God, greatness is never achieved that way. Great armies always march off the map. Amen. Great armies always march off the map. The explorers, they huddle together up on the fringe of barren sand with the salt water. And they never dream of pressing forward into the heart of the land. Too many of us are content with what we've got. Little bit of God when we might have Him all. A settlement on the outside, on the edge of the land, when we might travel the whole length of it. And behold, it's all ours if we'll only be willing to go places we've never been. In God, in heights and depths, and the things in God, in prayer and fasting, in the Word of God. It did my heart good tonight to hear Brother Jared talk about reading the Word of God into the midnight hour. Brother Jared, read about 30 minutes, pray 30 minutes. Read 30 minutes, pray 30 minutes. Read 15 minutes. Pray 15 minutes. You're going to see things you've never seen before. The Lamb's decided, I'd like to go a little further than I've ever been. I'd like to march off the map. I'd like to see some things I've never seen. And you know what? I'm enjoying my walk with God. I've decided to pray a little more than I've ever prayed. To fast a little more than I've ever fasted. To read more of God's Word than I've ever read. And it's feeling real good. I'm finding that marching off the map. Amen. Amen. It feels good in the soul tonight. Amen. Woo! Y'all feel good out there? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Fear. Some of you, it's not fear, it's just pure laziness. I wasn't supposed to say that, was it, Brother Johnson? Is it hard? Some of it ain't fear. Some of it's just pure, absolute lazy. I don't know who you are, but if it's you, I got you. These other things. Fear, laziness, two main elements. They cause us to leave our possessions unpossessed. Joshua 17:14, the Bible said, and the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I'm a great people? For as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto. I like that attitude. I mean, I don't guess he wasn't necessarily being boastful. When he said great, he was talking about the multitude of people. His number. He said, we got all these people. You give me one portion. One lot. He said, my people, too many for that one lot. And so after inheriting the land of Canaan, the children of Joseph got a little bothered. They wanted more. Ephraim and Manasseh, they wanted more, so they got a little upset. And they thought they should have inherited a greater portion. Are you hearing me? I want you to catch this. They thought that they should have inherited. They thought Joshua should have allotted them more. And so they come to Joshua and they're complaining. I want more. I want more. Give me more. Give me more. But I want you to hear Joshua's words to him in Joshua 17:15. If thou be a great people, if you're really as great as you say you are, watch this. Get thee up into the wood country and cut down for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. So you big, you got all them people, you great? Well, get up there and cut down some wood. Go down, chop down some giants and take the land for yourself. That's the church tonight. That's the church tonight. Oh Lord, would you give me? God said, won't you get the axe in your hand and go chop down some wood? don't you go take on a few giants? If Ephraim be too narrow for thee, watch this, draw nigh to God. And he'll draw nigh to you. How close do you want God to be to you? Well, that's how close you've got to draw nigh to him. How close do you want God to be to you? That's how close you've got to draw unto God. He said, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. That's very important tonight. I don't know if you know that or not. It's very, very important that you understand that you can have as much of God as you want right now. James 4, 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Number one, submission to him. Resist the devil, number two, and he shall flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. It's that simple, pretty easy equation. Ephraim and Manasseh, you want more? You gotta draw nigh. You want more? You gotta pray more. You want more? You gotta read more. You want more? You gotta fast more. You gotta have a deeper consecration to God. You gotta love God more. You gotta worship God more. You gotta throw your hands up more. You gotta sing more. Amen. You gotta do more if you're gonna get closer to God. Amen. If you be so great, go and conquer the wood country. Clear it out. Destroy the enemy. Everything isn't going to be handed to you. If you want more, then fight for it. And you don't, if you say you want more, well, you're allowed, you can say that. You know, you can. I want $1 million, but I am not going to get out there and do what it takes to do it because it would cost me spiritually. Okay? I think you can honestly, intellectually say, I would like to have God. And then not, I know sometimes I'm preaching and I call you liars and things. I get, you know, in a big way and all that good stuff. But I guess in some demented way, how about that, some perverted way, I want more of God. But really, you know, even as I say this, even it comes out of my mouth, I get to thinking, do I really want $1 million? No. I really don't. I mean, if it was your $1 million and you'd give it to me, yeah. But do I really want it? No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. Because if I really wanted it, I would pursue it. Do you understand that? And for us to say that we really want more of God, but yet never do anything about it, I think somewhere there does lie a little bit of dishonesty there. Because we know how to get it, yet we don't. Holy Scripture is replete with images of people that made journeys with no map. Let us consider Abraham. He was called by God to begin a journey to a new place, both physically and in every other way. He left familiar ground with no map. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And so you say, Abraham, where are you going? He says, I have no idea. I don't have a map. My map was over in the Ur of the Chaldees. I had a map down there in the house. But where are you going? I have no idea where I'm going. I don't have a map for it. Every step I take is unannexed. Every step I take is uncharted. Every step I take is a new territory. Abraham, where are you going with all that cattle? All that family? Where are you taking them? Abraham said, I don't know. I'm going to a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm going to a place I've never been. As a matter of fact, I'm going to a place that nobody's ever been and came back from. And so
They can't tell me where it's at. They can't tell me how to get there. But I'm going to a city. I'm going to a city. It's not on the map. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is not on the map. Faith is when you get to the edge of it and say, I've never seen this before. And it's scary, oh yeah. But you pick your foot up and you get out of the boat and the water wasn't on the map. But it is now because you've been there. I feel like I'm in camp meeting tonight. Let's consider Moses. He was quite content taking care of his father Jethro's sheep. He was. He's called to a journey that he didn't necessarily want to take. No map. Exodus 3:10-11. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This is what he said. Moses said unto God, who am I? That I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. You think Moses wanted to go back and face Pharaoh? No. No. You think he wanted to go back into Egypt? No way. No. Do you think there'd ever been one single man before to go into the presence of King Pharaoh with a rod in his hand and say, let my people go, big boy, and live? No. It was uncharted. No map. You see, Pharaoh was the most powerful man on the planet. Moses is a shepherd with a stick and a stutter. Give me my people. If you don't like that, we're going to send some plagues on you. Oh, my. Most of the great prophets were called to their work, to their task, without knowing what work was even to be done. They just stepped out. They just launched out into the deep. They stayed up another hour and prayed a little bit longer. And when they didn't feel like fasting, they fasted a little bit more. Amen. Read the Word of God just a little bit more. Committed just a little bit more to memory. The experience of the earliest followers of Jesus, the disciples, the apostles, those that surrounded the men and women that were not preachers. They were called into a new way of life that took years to even begin to comprehend. They were sent out with no map. None. They didn't know where they were going, and they didn't know how they were going to get there. I think the words of Thomas best describe the idea in John 14:5. Thomas saith unto him, unto the Lord, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I believe that probably spoke for all of them. You see those two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Jesus walking with them? Those men were confused. Those men didn't have a map. Those men were saying, we thought it was him. But we're saddened and our countenance is all disturbed because we don't have a map. Okay? That's what they thought. That's what they felt like. That's what Peter felt like when he said, I go a fishing. Now I can understand Peter, John, Andrew. I can understand James going fishing. What about Matthew? He's a tax collector. He's out on. He got a pencil out there. With some string on it, trying to fish. What's Matthew doing? They had no map, and they're wandering like sheep without a shepherd. Oh, I feel like preaching tonight. There was no certainty about the future. They were crossing borders that they had never dreamed existed. They were making tracks through places that they previously felt were impassable and impossible. We can't get across it. It's not possible. We don't have the means. They didn't know how they were going to get to where they were going. They didn't have fifth wheels. They didn't have RVs. They didn't have money. And Jesus sent them out and didn't even say, don't take a two coat. Don't take a stave. Don't take anything extra. You just go out. The saints of God, when they came back, they had two or three of everything because they went out into uncharted territory. And though they didn't have a map, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I'll send you another comforter. What will that comforter do? He will guide you in all the truth. And so I may not have a map, but I've got a compass tonight. I may not have a map, but I've got a God
with you. Preach the gospel and I'll preach with you. Amen. I've got a king that already been there. He knows that there's the steps I take. He'll guide me with his eye. Amen. Step off the map and go into places you've never been. Lift your hands across the house. Give God some glory. I'm almost done. Two things that all of these great stories have in common. First, the presence of God on their journey. Secondly, they had faith in that God. Amen. Still no map, but a sense that the journey's happening in the sight of God, who alone knows the purpose of each life and each part of creation. For people of faith, moving into uncharted territory is no more comfortable than it is for anyone else. Brother Corey, people look at me sometimes and they say, how in the world did you move, or how did you do that? How did you quit your job and go from 40 grand a year and made 2,300 the next year? And they say, man, it just seems easy for Brother Lamb. Well, it wasn't. I cried. I wept. I fasted. I didn't sleep sometimes. I may have slept in the bed with my wife one night out of the week, because I spent almost every night in prayer the entire night, and then go to work in the morning with toothpicks on my eyes, because God's telling me to walk away from a mapped out territory into uncharted territory. I come from a family, they said, if you're a full-time minister, you're a deadbeat and don't want to work, you're lazy. And there ain't no such thing as a God called a full-time evangelist or a full-time pastor. And so when I stepped out, I had everybody talking about me. They were all saying I was lazy. They were all saying I didn't want to work. But when I got out there in uncharted territory, God started blessing, and he started shutting the lions' mouths. And tonight they aren't talking about me anymore, because their homes are busted up and they're backslid and they're on their way to hell. And I'm still preaching the old-fashioned holiness gospel. I'm still here, and they're gone. I'd rather be out in uncharted territory holding the hand of God than sitting somewhere in a place of comfort and ease and wondering what it's like if I would only step out. My God. Here's the difference. It's attitude. It's attitude. You know why some things look easy when other people do it? And it seems so hard when you do it? Attitude. Attitude. I've watched people go through things that I was going through, and they nearly shut down. Couldn't go to church hardly. I mean, just wept themselves all night, oh, crying and snot. And they calling me, oh, Brother Lamb, what do I do? And I say, well, this is what I'm doing. It's attitude. It's perspective. Do I want to let this destroy me? Do I want to let this tear me down? Or can I step back for a moment and say, maybe, just maybe, God's going to use this to pull me up a notch, to pull me up a level. Maybe this is God's way of ministering to me. Maybe I need to be broke a little while so I can understand how to take care of money. Somebody shout amen. Or maybe I need to be talked about a little bit so I'll keep my mouth shut. Maybe I need to be attacked a little bit right in the house of God by my pastor and by my friends or by somebody else. Why? So I learn to keep my mouth shut and love and be gentle and kind. Maybe, just maybe, God is using this to bring you up a level. Wow! I'm about done. Y'all ought to be shouting right now. Amen. To travel in the sight of God is very different from traveling alone and being disconnected. Though the Himalayas were discovered in the middle of a blank space on the early Greek map, and it surprised Alexander the Great, there is no uncharted territory that surprises God. He's eternal God. He's eternally past, and he's eternally future. And that's not even good correct grammar. Why? Because God is just eternal. That means he's in all places in on the chronological timeline. He's been there before you get there. And he's always been there. The enemy throw you in a pit. So what? God is in the pit. He was there before you got there. That's right, Bunyan tonight. Old John Bunyan, locked down in a prison. He said, do you want out? He said, why would I want out? Christ visits me every day. And I don't want to be anywhere except where Jesus is at. It was unmapped territory. But John Bunyan wrote it. He wrote the Pilgrim's Progress, number 2 book, only behind the King James Bible, because a man was willing to go off the map. Stand across the house. Amen. God stretches far beyond any of your maps. Far beyond it. In my own personal walk with God, in my own journey, I have found God to be on the map. He's on the map. God's asked me to step off the map many times. I said, God, I don't know what's there. And he always says this, but I do. You think God's going to lead you somewhere into something in the power of God? And you know, you get scared to preach stuff like this because, you know, like 3/4 of your church will go to another church. Oh, the Lord, let's move. I ain't preaching that tonight. I'm from Kentucky. You have to forgive me. You got to be careful what you preach up there. I found God to be on the map. But I've also found Him to be off the map. And I found Him to be richer when I stepped away. Now here's the downfall, Brother Corey. As soon as you take a step off the map, you're really stepping on the map. Because you make a map as you go. And you say, I'm going to step off the map. And as soon as you step, you're still on the map. And you see where you're at. You smile. Or you cry. Whichever one. And you say, it's good. You can cry out with the psalmist and say, where can I go from your spirit? If I ascend into the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. Where can I flee from your presence? I thank God for the maps the church and the early saints have provided for us. Don't you? Ironically, though, as we travel using those maps, we sometimes come to the edge. And wisdom sometimes tells us to go back onto the map, but at other times we'll be beckoned to go forward. In either case, God is already present. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The just shall live by faith. I think tonight the most, for me, probably the most accurate picture of faith was when Joab, David's men, Joab and David's soldiers, They came up to that city, Jabus, which would eventually become Jerusalem. They'd already conquered it once, but they didn't inhabit it. They moved on. And you know what happened? The men of Jabus built it back. And they fortified it. Whew, did they ever. You couldn't get in. Couldn't get in. I don't know how David found out about that gutter. That shaft. It went from the Gihon Springs under all the way under the wall up into a well. Maybe they'd had somebody in, came out and told. David said, whoever will get up in that gutter, go take this city, get them gates open for me, I'll make him captain. Joab slid his armor off. Went into a shaft, Brother Johnson, 1,300 feet long at least. It was like 3 feet wide. In some places, 10 inches. Now remember, it's running from the Gihon Springs, Brother Corey. That means water's running down that shaft.
And they didn't build it this way. They built it that way. Okay? You can't go on your stomach. You drowned. You can't go feet first. Can't get in. So you got to go upside down, backwards, on your back, this way, downhill. Water sloshing in your face. I don't know how they got the swords. They would have probably had to have tied them onto their other leg. How many torches do you think they had in that shaft? How are they going to get a torch in the shaft? It's full of water. It's 10 inches at some places. Can't keep a fire burning in that. 1,300 feet. What's this church? 70-something? 150 foot, everything. I'm talking about 1,300 foot. Possibly longer. Pitch black. Water gushing down their face. Their foreheads skint. Lifting their heads so they don't drown. Shimmying. Couldn't stop. You quit, everybody dies. Where are they going to come up at, Jay? They got no idea. All they know is the king said, you're getting that gutter. Brother Johnson, sure as I'm standing here right now, they popped their head out from underneath that well and saw the moon. They saw stars. They stuck their head in that shaft and said, come on, boys, I found a way out. They shimmied out of that well, Brother Jason. Poked their head out over that well and caught the guards sleeping. Slew about four of them, opened up the gates of that city. And David and his men marched in and conquered that place. How'd they do it? Because the men went into a dark, tight, wet place. And had no idea what was 20 feet from them. Didn't have any, had no idea they was 1,300 foot. They kept pushing. Kept pushing, kept pushing, because there was no option. I've got to get in here. Sitting around that campfire that night, Brother Smith, they're all telling their stories. And there sits a man, he's got a bloody nose. He's beat all to pieces. And this guy here is talking about all the men he slew. And this guy here is talking about all the men he killed. But here sits a guy, he said, yeah. But I was in the gutter. Are you hearing me tonight? That gutter wasn't on the map, but it brought victory. We're gonna have some revival around here. It's just got to be. It's just got to be, or I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die early. I'm gonna die young. I can't live no more without it. And we're gonna have it together. It takes more than one. I've come to that conclusion. I believe one person could possibly pray down revival. But I don't know of any record where it's ever happened. It's always been a conglomeration of people that gathered together and said, you know what? We're going to do this. And so whether it's in your personal life tonight, or whether it's around this church for revival, I'm hoping and praying you're seeking the face of God about that, like I asked and petitioned you the other night to help me. Or whether it's just areas in your own life you've built perimeters around. I say tear down the fences. You need to pray like Jabez prayed. Enlarge my borders. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. I've tried my best to obey you. Wasn't necessarily coming in here to sermonize tonight to try to sound like a great preacher. I cannot do that. But I certainly have delivered what you've laid on my heart. Father, I believe there's people in this house that could go so much further in you. That could be such a much more powerful witness in you. There's people in this house that could be prayer warriors. That could go into uncharted territories and their borders be expanded. And Father, I pray that you saturate us tonight with your presence. Speak to hearts and minds in this house that we'd be willing to march off the map. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Brother Corey, come to the piano, please. Let's pray around these altars a little while. And talk to the Lord about your fears, about your boundaries. Let's get rid of those things.